Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is 6:42. Happy to welcome Dr. Bal Nandra, just talking about you, in studio, along with our friend John Vincent, who a lot of you have seen sing somewhere or everywhere. He's probably been in your house at some point singing. And we'll talk to John in just a second. But Dr. Nandra, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having us again.
Nice to see you. It's been a little bit of time here. Now, you know that I have been an advocate of ketamine since I met you, because I believe that we need other avenues to fight the scourge of depression and chronic pain. And however this came up, whether it was one of those great accidents in medicine or whatever, this is a great, great development. And then recently we heard about this myth thing I want to ask you about as well. But as news comes out more and more, week by week, month by month, is the skepticism falling away?
Actually, it is. And especially like you just briefly alluded to with the recent FDA approval of a ketamine nasal spray called esketamine. I think that's really allowed the public to understand the fact that ketamine is safe and it is effective, and it's okay to seek a somewhat new and alternative treatment now since it's FDA approved.
We just don't seem to want to deal with depression in particular the way we need to deal with it and treat it the same way we treat cancer and heart disease and every other major condition. Because, frankly, depression probably affects more of us than anything else in this country. Not everybody's willing to admit it. And we need to be serious about it. When we have ways to treat it that could beat other ways, it's great. Because we know that the body seems to find a level with prescription meds, and then you got to change them and you got to try different things. I'm not knocking prescription meds. Obviously, they work, and they're great for a lot of people. But sometimes you need something else.
That's absolutely true. About one in four, sometimes even perhaps one in three people suffer from depression. It's the leading cause of disability and lost productivity in the workplace in the world. And a lot of medications do kind of stop working, and that's just because the brain, just for whatever reason, stops adapting to it. The receptors do. Ketamine, for some reason, does not seem to have that disadvantage. And we've been treating people for 3 or 4 years now with an occasional maintenance infusion, and they continue to be just like they were the day they went into remission.
So what is depression? And by that, I mean, I know we get deep in the medical weeds here, but how is a depressed brain different than somebody who, say, isn't depressed?
Well, it's a lot of it, obviously, in the years has been told it's because of imbalances in neurotransmitters. That's one of the reasons. And, of course, that's why we have serotonin related drugs out there on the market. Other reasons are higher levels of inflammation in the brain, and all the stress and anxiety that people with depression experience actually affects the brain permanently in a physical manner. It actually causes atrophy or loss of function in some areas of the brain over the many, many years. And what ketamine can do is it which is miraculous, is it activates growth factors in the brain that actually repair and kind of bring those areas back to life. There's been studies that have shown that even as much as a few hours or a day right after one ketamine infusion, there's actually new brain activity, new brain growth.
Yeah, because the body wants to heal itself.
Absolutely, and ketamine kind of kickstarts that process and gets your brain back to a healthier state.
Now, the one thing that people seem to have a little bit of trouble wrapping their head around is when they hear this was originally an anesthetic medication, because the general idea of an anesthetic medication to most people, the layman, nobody's more layman than me, is it's going to level you off and bring you down. And people go, that's what I didn't like about my depression meds. It just flattened me out. Why is this different?
Well, ketamine is a dissociative drug. That's what we call it. And it's a dissociative anesthetic drug. But what it does is, by blocking the NMDA receptor, it puts you into a kind of a dreamy, out-of-body state. And that's the anesthetic part of it all. It's also very potent for pain control, and that's why it's also effective for a lot of these chronic pain syndromes. So that's what makes it different. So it's like you said, it was accidentally kind of discovered about 15 or so years ago that it was very effective and rapid acting in treating depression. And ever since then, a lot of studies came out proving it over and over again. And of course, the recent FDA approval has only added support to that whole process.
You mentioned that patients after the ketamine, you know, go into remission for depression, which isn't something we usually refer to it as. Is there a maintenance program, or do you take it in addition to some depression meds, or is it a one-step? You do the ketamine, and then you don't need, you're off all medicine.
Every patient is different, Mary. So some patients, we are able actually to do their 6 infusions and perhaps a few more, and then I may never hear from them ever again. And we do check on our patients long-term, and they say, Doc, I'm doing great. I'm good. And you know, they might come in down the road for a maintenance infusion, or they may not. Other patients do need to be on a maintenance infusion, and, you know, we're really careful. I try to do my best to extend that out to as long as possible so patients don't have to come in. But a lot of patients typically need to come in on an interval anywhere from every 4 weeks, but some can go every few months.
So if you're subject to depression, if you've got that chemical imbalance in the brain, life has traumatic events. The ups and downs of life happen. So ketamine works. You go out, you're living your life, and then something bad happens. Is that a time where you may need, you know, a maintenance infusion?
Often that is. Life stressors can definitely affect people with pre-existing depression more than they affect other people and put them, you know, back into a bit of a relapse. What's funny, though, is we don't see people typically going back to where they began. They typically are more resilient. In other words, they react better to stressors, as do people with anxiety. They act better to stressors and are more resilient, are able to just deal with things and work through things better, it seems, when they're doing ketamine. And many patients have told me that.
Who's it not right for?
Well, it's not right for a patient. You really want to have to get better. We always recommend the patients do therapy along with their ketamine. We typically don't change any of their medications, which Mary alluded to. We keep that going. We want them to keep seeing their psychiatrist. I'll communicate with their psychiatrist and their therapist as we need to.
So you're not saying come in, take ketamine, and forget about everything else you've been doing?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a treatment, but it's kind of it's just something to get you into the right spot so that you can move forward with your life in a better state of mind. But you still need to, most people still need to continue some medication.
They might be able to talk therapy.
And talk therapy. They might be able to lower their medications. That happens quite often. But they usually need to continue some sort of maintenance on the outside also.
Insurance getting on board yet?
Well, insurance is covering the ketamine nasal spray that's coming out.
Well, it's interesting. They're going with the nasal spray, but not the injections, which have already been proven to be significantly effective. Well, the nasal spray is brand new. Why would they go that route?
Well, that's pharmaceutical dogma, whatever you want to call it. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it takes millions and millions and millions of dollars to get a drug FDA approved.
Sure. Yeah.
And to get IV ketamine approved would not profit any pharmaceutical company because it is a generic medication that's been around for over 50 years.
So the mist would be more readily available. Volume is what it is, so therefore it's a better thing. Well, look,
yeah,
they have
Johnson
a business.
Johnson has a 7-year patent on it, whatever it is. And
well, some people have a mental block over IV versus, you know, nasal spray. It seems easier.
You know. Everybody wants it easy.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
IV is, and the studies clearly show that IV ketamine is still at least twice as effective as that nasal ketamine spray, according to their studies and according to all the studies that we've done on IV ketamine. So,
because the nasal spray, I'm sure, will develop as time goes on, but they need to know how it's working.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of administrations, and you actually have to go to your doctor's office to get it and sit there for 2 hours afterwards for observation. You can't drive home. So it's still not a quick, you know.
Go to Walgreens and go home and hit it.
Absolutely not. And only certain clinics, such as mine, are actually going to be qualified to provide it because of the monitoring that we have and the nurses that we have and things like this. Because after all, the FDA mandated that those certain conditions exist in clinics that administer that spray.
I want to talk to John with you in just a second, talk about what it's like as a patient to go through this. And a bunch of good texter questions coming in as well. This is more of a big picture question. Do you know if they're doing any research on stroke victims with rebuilding brain tissue with ketamine? Have you heard of any of that?
I haven't heard much of that yet. I know it's being studied a little bit for patients with concussions.
Okay.
And primarily chronic pain conditions. There are some studies that it could be effective for stroke victims, though, because what it does is actually stimulates what we call neurogenesis. In other words, it stimulates new nerve growth in the brain.
So it's early, but who knows?
It could be. I don't know.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Talking with Dr. Bal Nandra. And the drug is called ketamine. And one of the questions that came in, Doc, is about PTSD. How does it work on PTSD?
Ketamine works with PTSD pretty similar to how it works with depression, by blocking that brain receptor, the NMDA receptor. What a lot of patients with PTSD have described to us, which is really remarkable and kind of cool to kind of fathom, is that ketamine separates their thoughts from their emotions. And if you think about that for a second, patients with PTSD typically have a traumatic event or thought that triggers a spiraling process of anxiety and decompensation and depression. And ketamine obviously does not wipe your brain free or remove memories or I can't do that. But what it'll do is it'll prevent those horrible or obtrusive thoughts from causing that severe anxiety. So they're just less obtrusive. I recently treated a young veteran from the suburbs and who'd had issues for a few years from the Middle East and in the war. And he, again, after one or two treatments, he'd just been recently hospitalized and just came out of the hospital. And just after one or two treatments, he was like, this is just unbelievable. My memories and my thoughts of being in the battlefields and the horrible things I saw, they're still there, but they're just not bothering me as much.
Which is incredible.
It was incredible.
And that brings me to John. John Vincent has been a friend for years, and you guys have seen him sing everywhere, from Cubs games to Ditka's to parties to events here and there. And when people see a guy, a big, tough dude like John, you think, this guy was never bullied. What are you talking about? But you had that.
I was smaller than everybody, and I had this big old head that I have now.
Look at dude. And I saw you at the meeting. That's where I met you, at the Big Head Club.
No, you look great. Did you just see what happened before? Am I going to be financially responsible?
Right, for the broken headphones?
I put the headphones on, I pull them down, and I broke it right off.
You know what happens? I'm like, oh, crap. What happens? You know, it happens. Thank God Larry Wirtz got a lot of money.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Sorry, Larry.
But here's the deal. John Vincent, who, you know, is out there singing, entertaining all the time, and, you know, on the outside, he can look like the happiest guy in the world, but you can get very dark very fast. I know I go through it. You've gone through it forever, and you needed help. So you have one of the best psychiatrists that you've been dealing with. And
yes, John Grant at the University of Chicago. Phenomenal.
And he recommended ketamine. And what did it do for you?
Yeah, Larry Wirtz said it first to me, and then I brought it up to John Grant, and then John Grant... This was last year. Uh-huh. Then I started, the depression starts coming. You could feel it. You know it's coming out of nowhere.
You can see the clouds coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like right there.
Yeah.
We're looking out this window and it's just coming. And Larry goes, let me call Dr. Ba. Hold on. Let me see how quick we can get you in there. And, you know, you go in, you have an attitude of, okay, I'm hoping this is going to work. This is going to be great. But that first day, after I had it done, things just looked different for me. Now, I'm not saying that I'm living in la-la land,
right,
or it's euphoric.
Right.
I'm saying, I want to go do things now. I don't want to just stop living. I want to keep going. I want to try to do as much as I can while I'm here now.
Yeah.
And before it was like, stay in bed, watch TV, go to sleep. Like, I want to sleep as much as I can.
Right.
I don't want to sleep as much as
I can. You don't want to escape life, you want to live life.
Yeah, I want to live life. And life's not easy, but it makes you clearer. It makes things clear for you. It's like, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. You know what? None of us are going to be here forever. We're all going to die. We're all going to, 100 years from now, in this station, be somebody else talking. This
what?
You'll be here.
Somebody told me that.
But, like, it's just, you get real, and you're like, wait a minute, it doesn't really matter in a good way. You know how you say life doesn't matter, and it's always, like, depressive? I say it makes you feel like it doesn't really matter in a good way. Like, don't take the unimportant stuff and make
right,
it so
right,
important.
Right.
It's okay.
So now, I'm not sure with your case, John, but I know, Dr. Nandra, this is anxiety and depression kind of go hand in hand, and sometimes it trips the anxiety,
oh, yeah,
and then that's what causes a lot of the problems.
So, I have OCD, so okay. The worst thing to have is anxiety and depression at the same time, because you're really, really down, and you're really anxious, and that's tough, and because you get these feelings that are just like, it's almost like a cat and dog.
And you think about it as a performer.
Yeah.
Having to go on stage.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in that mode.
There's times at Ditka's, like, I would just be in the office, and I'm telling the manager, I'm like, I don't want to go out there, man. And they've been so good to me there. They're like, just take your time, Johnny, relax. And that anxiety depression is the worst feeling. That's the worst feeling. That's worse. Give me one or the other. But when they both come, it's like that punch that, you know, Drago gave Rocky, like, when he's going down, and it's like... Yeah.
Oh, Rocky could have used it.
So you've done the ketamine treatments, but you're also still working on yourself, and you're still taking a few other things. It's a whole.
Oh yeah,
it's a full package.
Yes, I've done six already. I'm going to see my doc today. I want to be very open about that. It's okay to say you have a mental illness, because why is it okay to say you have cancer, diabetes, heart disease, this, that? And not okay to say,
amen, you know, man.
After I got that tweet from Lady Gaga in the World Series, I looked her up and I'm like, this woman is like telling her story out there. And I don't know if you saw the picture where it said, you know, in her yearbook, she was bullied, and it says Stephanie whatever her real name is, will never be famous. And then the other picture is her holding the Oscar.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that's why I'm doing the things with bullying for free, because I want to be that person who can help other people. If I have this platform... And if it helps.
Well, there's little kids right now. There's little kids who don't want to go to school today.
No.
They don't want to go to school today because there's going to be some jerk who's going to shove them against a locker, who's going to treat them poorly.
Yep.
They're not going to get stuck up for. The school maybe isn't equipped to handle it. That was you.
Yeah.
You were the little kid that got bullied.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not what you want, because that can trigger a life that goes down the wrong path. And what ketamine's done for you is open up some doors. And I think you made a really important point there. And I want you guys to hang around for another segment, because the point you made is really important. Doesn't mean euphoria.
No.
Life is not about euphoria. As a matter of fact,
I know it came from my family has a history of depression.
Right,
and anxiety.
But what I'm saying is
that bullying really got it. You know,
of course.
It was more, and it's realistic now.
But if Dr. Nandra came in here and said it's going to make you euphoric, I'd say, Doc, come on.
Yeah.
You never said that. This is going to give you an opportunity to get back to a normal life, whatever normal means for you. And that's what you want. Break those clouds up.
You see the sunshine coming through.
Right?
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. What's interesting is, like you said, ketamine, after these treatments or as soon as you start feeling the response, there is no euphoria. But what it does, like you said, is bring it kind of back to your baseline. The issue that we see that is really interesting is some people don't know what that means, because they have literally suffered from depression. Let's say you're in your 40s or 50s for depression for 30 years. That's since you were a kid, 11 or 12 or 13-year-old. And to compare... quote unquote normal or not feeling depressed when you're in your 40s and 50s compared to, you know, what you felt like the last time you didn't have depression in your teens, is that's not possible. So and that's one of the reasons we really, really want patients to continue with their therapy, because this can be such a dramatic change in people, especially if you've gone 20 or 30 years and all of a sudden in one or two days it's gone. I mean, just think of that. People cry, they get emotional, they don't know what's going on because their depression is gone. And the issue, it's a great problem to have, to not have depression, but it means, okay, now it's time to move on in life. Now I got to find out what to do with my life.
Wait, all your
because
coping,
a lot of people
coping is from every, what you did before.
Yeah, people have
Doc, can I interrupt
have,
you for
people
a second?
Work.
I want both of you guys hold, because I'm going to come back to another segment.
Okay, cool.
Hang around for me, because I want more from you guys in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I asked Dr. Ball and John Vinston to hang around for a second. We're talking about ketamine, because I am a firm believer we don't talk enough about mental health in this country. And ketamine is just one of these amazing breakthroughs that doesn't come along more than maybe once every generation. John, you were going to make a point right before the break.
Yes, sir. I would describe it as, like, you know, we all suffer. Life is, like, what did the Buddha say? Like, the existence is suffering, and we all have our ups and downs.
Sure.
The one thing with depression, it feels like that big, wet, heavy blanket that's on you, and it's just crippling. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it's really, really, like Doc was saying, you don't want to get out of your house. You don't do anything.
Right.
After this ketamine, it was like I had this backpack of rocks on me, and I took the backpack off, and I could climb the mountain. It's still, and he said, Howard, because he texts me later, goes, John, how you feeling? I go, I have a peaceful reality of life. I know that, you know, life isn't going to be easy, and it's not easy, but it's okay. It's not, it's okay. You just get this, it's okay feeling. And actually, my mind has become clearer. My thinking has become clearer. I haven't forgotten as many things. I was forgetting, when I knew it was bad is when I was forgetting words, Sinatra songs, and I had to stop it in the middle of Ditka's.
That's like walking for you.
Yeah. And I had to stop it in the middle, Ditka's, and the crowd laughs. I go, and they started singing the words, and I'm like, I knew that was because of stress.
Sure.
Right?
Stress and anxiety.
So much stress and anxiety. I actually remember things more now.
You know, what John's talking about really rings true, and talking about OCD as we were off the air. What's ketamine do for OCD?
Ketamine is actually pretty effective for OCD also. What it does is it somehow dulls those impulsive thoughts and reactions. We're still learning how ketamine works in a lot of different conditions, but I have treated people with OCD like John, some people even severe OCD, some people who have just OCD that is just obtrusive type of thoughts that reoccur in their heads. And again, somehow ketamine is through its growth factor stimulation as well as the neurotransmitter blockade, it is allowing the brain to just operate down different pathways instead of those same old pathways that cause these kind of thought and reaction and OCD type of patterns.
It's a detour to get around the construction problem.
Somehow it is. And again, like I said, we're learning more and more about it, and there have not been any large scale studies on OCD, but there are some good studies on OCD, and our clinical experience has actually been very encouraging.
So you said your clinic in particular is in the process of being approved for esketamine nasal spray. That'll happen sooner than later. It's a different procedure. I think if people want to know more about this, they need to call you to set up an appointment to see what works for them, right?
Absolutely. Even though, you know, obviously a lot of people are very interested in ketamine nasal spray, and it is now an option and a viable option, I still, you know, we still would love you to come in, make a set up a free consultation, and really hear about both the esketamine as well as IV ketamine, and just kind of weigh the positives and negatives of both, just to see what is best for you. Each has its advantages, but at the end of the day, I still truly believe that IV ketamine is far more effective.
One thing you said off the air, and this is not a knock against psychiatrists at all, but you said sometimes they're not always the best person to ask about something like this kind of treatment.
Well, not necessarily not the best person. The reason is purely because many psychiatrists just haven't had patients that have tried ketamine infusion. So sometimes it's kind of hard for them to say, "Oh yeah, you should try it," or "Oh, you shouldn't try it." Most psychiatrists, however, that we get patients from, they typically, even if they haven't had a lot of experience, they now know that there's enough literature out there that it's probably worth a try for their patient, and at least a discussion. And I'm always happy to speak with any psychiatrist to explain exactly how we do things. I have a lot of psychiatrists actually come visit our clinic just to see how we do things.
Which is smart.
Continuing
education on the part of the psychiatrist.
Yeah, there's a lot of subpar ketamine clinics out there, and at the end of the day, you want to go to a place that does it right, does it professionally with nursing monitoring and private rooms, and there's many, many other things that should be required to be a good ketamine clinic.
And as you said, there's a lot of hope for various things that we don't know enough about yet. ADHD, I'm sure, is one of them. People have asked about gambling addictions, things of that nature, autism. Look, there's miraculous developments that come along every day. Nobody's promising you bipolar 2 will be cured tomorrow or anything else. But this is what John spoke about. And I think, John, you really put it well. This opens the door to what is a more normal life and a more normal outlook on life, and that's what we all deserve. And you can only get that by, you know, making the appointment, going in, talking about it whatsoever, or talking about it and finding out whether it's right for you. Now, everyone wants to know about cost. This is not cost. This is not something that's going to cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars and break me. I don't have to sell my house to do this?
No, at least not the house that you currently have. I'm just kidding. ketamine is
it's a nice house.
IV ketamine, as I said, the consultation is free. For WGN people who hear us on the radio, we offer a discount of $50 off an infusion, so it's about $550 an infusion. Again, for the six infusions, and the maintenance infusions are less expensive down the road.
All right, so $3,000 and change is sounds like a ton of money for a lot of people, but you've been living your life this way for a long time. Are you willing to make that sort of investment into changing your life if this is right for you? You know, I think it's a worthy consideration. Nobody's forcing you to do it, forcing you not to do it. I think you need to think about it. John, you certainly did.
I did. And again, Larry Wirt brought it to me. You know, we were talking about psychiatrists. My doctor, Dr. John Grant, who I love, who I'm going to see today, who was rated one of the top three, and only three were rated in Chicago Magazine, psychiatrists in Chicago, was like, yeah, Johnny, I believe this is a game changer, and you go for it. And he said the next week when he saw me, he goes, I just see a difference in your face and your eyes. You're talking about OCD, and my OCD is pure O. Instead of that dog grabbing your shoulder and trying to, like, it's almost like now a fly. You're kind of like, all right, come on, man, just get away. Like, stop. I'm just saying Kobe. From my experience, yes, sir. I'm saying from my experience, this is what happened. I don't have this where it's making me overthink and jump and scatter all over the place. It's coming to the point where I'm like, wait a minute, take a step back and look. And that has changed my life drastically.
No, I'm happy, man.
Drastically.
A lot of people that love you, and that's great to hear.
Well, thank you, sir.
Next time you come in, you give me a singing lesson.
Let me hear you. Let me hear something.
Unfortunately, we're almost out of time.
I thought you were going to say unforgettable.
Look at you at this hour.
That's what you are.
Look at you. You sound good 24/7. Doc, how do we get a hold of the clinic?
Come on anytime for free consultation. I'll be happy to talk to you. Our website is www.ketaminechicago.com. That's KETAMINE Chicago.com. And our phone number is 844-9IV-MEDS or 844-948-6337.
Thank you, sir. Nice to see you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.